This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump invoked an 18th century wartime act to deport hundreds of migrants, mostly from Venezuela, to El Salvador, alleging they were gang members. Now a federal judge wants answers and is not getting them.
Judge James Boasberg calling on the Trump administration to provide specifics about the deportation flights after the White House ignored his directive to turn the planes around and return the migrants to the United States. Judge Boasberg says the Trump administration has evaded its obligations to prove they did not defy his order by sending two planes of Venezuelan migrants to El Salvador, adding the administration provided woefully insufficient information.
ABC's Melissa Adan. President Trump taking aim at the Department of Education. He signed an executive order to dramatically scale down the agency. A federal judge blocking Elon Musk and his team from accessing Social Security records containing the sensitive and private information of millions of Americans. This is ABC News. New details on that Delta flight that crashed in Toronto last month.
The Transportation Safety Board of Canada saying the plane was going very fast, triggering a so-called sink rate alert, warning the pilots of a dangerous descent. The preliminary report saying part of the right main landing gear fractured and the landing gear folded into the retracted position. The right wing struck the ground and broke off. Fuel spilled out of the wing and ignited.
Tesla, that's ABC's Gio Benitez. Tesla ramping up security at their dealerships after a number of cars were targeted, with Attorney General Pam Bondi vowing the full force of the law will come down on those vandals. Reigning NBA champs, the Boston Celtics, have been sold. Private equity mogul William Chisholm leading the agreement to purchase the team for a record check, this $6.1 billion. That's the largest price tag for a U.S. professional sports team ever. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Poquette.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Badgers win in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a victory today over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell leading scoring with 19 points. Stephen Kral, 18. John Tanjay had 15 in all five Badgers players with double-digit points. Up next, they face Brigham Young on Saturday. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. It still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. Smart with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After well over a year of hype surrounding the show Severance, I finally had to check it out. 40 minutes into episode 1 of season 1, I had more questions than answers, but the pilot closed strong. Despite being a slow starter, the sci-fi mystery about a group of office workers who discover that their work memories and personal life memories have been surgically separated is a critic's darling, pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I will have more information as I continue the binge. The premiere date for season 2 of The Last of Us is right around the corner. Recently, it was revealed revealed that series co-lead Bella Ramsey was diagnosed with autism. Making the story even more interesting was that it was a crew member on the set whose daughter has autism who suggested Ramsey get tested while season one was still being shot. Ramsey says they believe this will help them as an actor, as they have always been someone who watches and studies people. Season two of The Last of Us drops April 13th on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds and a gusty south wind developing in the overnight. Temperatures dropping to the mid-20s. For Friday, clouds around, highs in the lower 50s. There will be a chance of rain developing in the afternoon as the winds stay breezy. It's 24 at our studios.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome This Week in Waukesha host Don Brown and Milwaukee native and writer-director of Just a Bit Outside, Sean Hanisch. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. I didn't see you there just watching us and listening to us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently out having some fun for a few days. We'll be returning on Tuesday, but I'm here as your faithful host, sitting in the big chair. Also along with me, I have sweet Cal B. Cal, how you doing?
Living the dream. It's already the second hour and it's Thursday. The week's already almost over.
That's amazing. Got the weekend coming up. You know, talking about maybe some springtime plans. We'll talk more about with Brittany Merlot coming up at 11:20. 11:30, we got sports with Paul Noonan. And of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 11:50, as always. You can always listen to us. You can always contact us. You can always get in touch with us by going to 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Or find us on the live stream. You can watch us and drop a live a comment in the live stream. Calvin, would you say on a scale of 1 to 10 today, the live stream comments have been spicy?
Yeah, they definitely are fired up by the Department of Education. Yeah.
Hey, man, who would have thought we'd be part of something where the Department of Education is getting people riled up into a good old-fashioned debate on what should be done? But here's a question for you, Calvin, and you can ask this to your friends if you know anybody who's looking to get into maybe a new line of work, new career. Civic Media is growing, and we have jobs available. You can go to civicmedia.us/careers now, take a look at what we've got available, and maybe if you want to become a producer or you want to get into sales, something like that. I got in this job as a producer. I turned the knobs for Pat Kreitlow in the morning, 6 to 8. Calvin is our producer from 10 to noon. And if you want to be part of the conversation happening here at Civic Media, and you want to be part of the Civic Media family, go to civicmedia.us/careers. Speaking of the Department of Education, I know I wanted to talk about Elon, and we might get to that in a moment, but I want to do this really quick. You got some nice commentary on the live stream as well as the text line. One of the comments from Andrew in Maine saying the DOE includes FAFSA, which provides student loans to allow millions of individuals to attend community colleges, trade schools, and universities. I realize that some folks would like to limit higher education to only those with parents worth over $500 million. That's definitely the way we're trying to see it now, is as far as funding two separate school systems, what we're doing here in Wisconsin, at least. And very nice to someone who's listening, WAUK. Greg, don't let the trolls get to you. They're like, I can't say the rest of it. It's a little sweary right there. But, you know, the trolls are the new religion of Trump, which, hey, man, people have their opinions. People have their passions. And I get that. They might not align with mine. They might not agree with me all the time or ever. But They got the passion, and I love to see it. I love to see what people have to say. If it means throwing names my way, that's fine. I don't really care. It's whatever. It's not a big deal. But, you know, like I said, with the Department of Education, people have said, oh, it's about local control.
Calvin. Once we take every brick down from the Department of Education, it'll be about local control. But then what? And then what? And then what? And the next step? Because ultimately, as people have been saying in the live stream comments as well, Department of Education isn't just school. They only account for 11% of school funding for elementary and secondary school. The rest comes from the state. And that's a whole other conversation we have been having for months now regarding that issue. Of course. Everything in the federal government can be looked at. It can be retooled. It can be made better. We can find the fat. We can trim it. We do it with a scalpel, not with a chainsaw. But this whole service signing a piece of paper saying the Department of Education is no more is not only irresponsible to do because it's just going to be seen as unconstitutional by a judge, as Jim Santel said in the previous hour, but also it just sets the standard of you don't like it, you're going to take your ball and go home. This is the work of a baby throwing a tantrum. They want their way and they're going to get it. And there's a bunch of people who agree with it, and that's fine. But the point is, we have processes in place. As Jim said, we have to go through those processes, whether it's getting rid of employees, downsizing, getting rid of judges, pushing forth legislation, or pushing forth executive orders. There are processes in place that we have to follow, or they're not going to happen at all. So, great. You're going to get a big piece of paper with a big squiggly line with a Sharpie. Fantastic. But we know that in a week, some judge, probably in D.C., is going to be saying, yeah, you can't do that. So, but, hey, I appreciate the commentary. I appreciate the interaction. I appreciate the calls. I appreciate everything about you guys. Always get in contact with us, letting us know what you think. But I want to bring the conversation, though, back, Calvin, to Wisconsin, because, you know, we talked about in the first hour, we talked about the upcoming election for the Supreme Court race. And one of the major sticking points for people is the fact that Elon Musk has thrown nearly, I believe, million. I'm so used to billions into a race for Brad Schimmel. This is his guy. Elon Musk loves Brad Schimmel. And Elon Musk is not just throwing money into the campaign. He's also creating new groups to throw disinformation at us to make Susan Crawford look like some sort of dark candidate who's up to no good. And today, the editorial board of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and all the articles, by the way, that I've referenced will be in the show notes for later today. They'll be coming out around 12:30 this afternoon, so if you want to check those out. The editorial board of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel released an opinion piece yesterday. It says, Elon Musk's despicable disinformation tampers with Wisconsin Supreme Court election. And to me, and you mentioned this earlier as well, Calvin, this just smacks of Tim Michaels and Eric Hovde, these super rich guys who have all the money in the world, nearly unlimited funds, and they think they can do whatever they want, and they're going to come try to mess with Wisconsin elections and our politics because they ultimately can due to Citizens United, but the fact is I don't think Wisconsinites like that. I don't think we get down on that. I think at the end of the day, we want candidates who work hard. If Brad Schimmel was a hard-working judge, that's one thing, but this is a guy who's nothing but a shill for Donald Trump, and he has made that clear that that's what he's going to do. He's going to propose, he's going to take the proposed legislation and agenda of Donald Trump and make sure as applicable as possible in Wisconsin, he will make sure that comes into law here. And I don't think people appreciate that, and I don't think that that just means liberals. I think that means a lot of people because I think we saw that 2 years ago when Justice Janet Protasiewicz was running and you saw people saw in Janet someone who's going to be fair-minded and work the system and be a part of the a court that was going to be about fairness. And I think that Wisconsinites recognize that. And I think that that Elon Musk throwing his disgusting, dirty money at us and then starting these groups, these so-called progressive groups that are not progressive, they're funded by him, and they're just trying to mess with the election process. I think that is not appreciated by a lot of Wisconsinites. But Cindy is on the phone. Cindy from Appleton. What's going on, Cindy? How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, but I'm totally going to disagree with you because we've got all kinds of people talking about how they don't want big money in politics. yet they vote for the big money in politics candidates. And I'm not saying both parties don't do this, but we know who the big, big, big money donors are. And I really think that they're all their lies and all their false advertising is actually going to work. That's my fear.
I don't disagree, Cindy, that people vote for the big money candidates. That happens all the time. And you're right. They are on both sides. But I'm saying, but my point is, 2 years ago, I feel that people had, I felt like people had more of a grasp and more, I'm sorry, more of a, of an interest in making sure that the courts stay balanced. So we are a balanced state, that things are fair for the people. I don't know, though, if people really appreciate Elon's money being a part of the election. I know that there are people who are funding the other side as well. That's I'm not naive, and I'm not going to sit here and say it's all grassroots. It's all dollars and cents and pennies from grandmas from all over the state. But Elon's money is different, and it's being recognized as such. I mean, they're not talking about the U-lines, and they're not even talking about Diane Hendricks as much as they're talking about Elon Musk's money and what he's using it for. So I think that when it comes down to it, it's what you want to fund a campaign. Go ahead and do it. And Pat Kreitlow was talking about this morning. If you want to fund a campaign, you can do that. You have your right to do that. The courts have made it clear that you can do that, but to use your money for specific and pointed disinformation, I think that's reprehensible. And someone said on the live stream, said, take a chance, man, start a business. I do own a business. So that's, I do. Thank you. I started one. It's great. Calvin?
Yeah. And I mean, liberals in general, kind of, we get this line from conservatives that we're jealous of people who have more than us. And I would counter that. I live a very privileged life. I'm not wanting for anything. What I have is not jealousy for people with more than me. It's compassion and empathy for people with less than me.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't forget, Elon Musk thinks that he thinks compassion is a reprehensible thing here in the Western world. Cindy, do you have something else you wanted to say?
I just wanted to say that you said that 2 years ago we voted in Janet Protasiewicz, but I think we're in 2 years different whole political system than we were back then. So that's why I think, I'm really terrified of this election.
Cindy, you got to go out in there and talk to people. I understand the terror. I understand the fear. But if we talk to people and share what we know, we can at least do something. And we can't. I mean, I do not want to believe that we as Wisconsinites are going to give in to someone as ill-fitting as Musk is for our state. He's a human who's not concerned with right or wrong. He's just concerned about himself, money, and acquiring more power. And also, don't forget, he has a case. He'll have a case most likely in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court about his Tesla dealerships. And from Chippewa Falls, we got very little time. What can you say in 25 seconds? Anne?
Greg?
Yeah?
Yes. I know Calvin's a young person. And what he said was the smartest thing I've heard so far.
Ouch.
I hope all your listeners heard what he said. That was just spot on, and I'm just so proud of his comment. I just wanted to say that.
Calvin, repeat that before we go.
My comment was that I'm not jealous of people who have more than me. I have compassion and empathy for those who have less than me.
I loved it. Love it. That's why Calvin is our resident young person. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're switching gears pretty hard. We're going to Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot because it's spring? Is it? Since when? Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe he should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And
I think so.
We, the people, should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. We'll be right back. The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look, Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. Had, I know. You know, it's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
Well, I mean, we have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matner, who is gallivanting throughout the globe, and she'll return on Tuesday. I don't know if she's gallivanting throughout the globe. She might just be at home. I have no idea. I just like to think that she's gallivanting. Point is, you're listening to me in the big chair. Calvin Butenhoff is on the board right now, and we want to welcome you back to the show. Calvin, guess what?
What, Greg?
It's time to break into spring because it's now coming up on Monday is the Text to Win statewide contest break into spring. Starting Monday, Civic Media will have a contest that is right around the corner. Be sure to tune in 7 a.m. beginning this Monday for your chance to listen for a keyword to enter for your chance to be an hourly winner or enter to win the grand prize. You will have four chances to enter by listening at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. each day throughout the 2 weeks we're doing this contest. And the daily chances to win Chula Vista Getaways, Milwaukee Brewers club level seats. I've sat in those club level seats. They are nice. Or a $100 cash prize. Plus, every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a brand new queen size mattress set from Verlo Mattress. So, in order to play this, you have to have the Civic Media app. Go do it. Go get it. Download the app now. It's totally free and start listening. Well, listen now. But at 7 a.m. this Monday, March the 24th, which will be your first chance to text in the hourly keyword and enter to win the Break into Spring Text to Win statewide contest. I read that all from a piece of paper because I like to feel like an old-time newsy man with real tactile paper in my hands. But now we're going to switch gears even further to the weather because it is Thursday. It is 11:20 something, and we welcome to the show Miss Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know what we need a contest of can you guys guess the actual temperature or what the weather is going to be when spring hits?
Yeah, it's great today because you get to say to people, be like, happy spring.
Yep.
Because today's the first day.
It is. It's the spring equinox where the earth is not tilted whatsoever. We're not leaning towards the sun or away from the sun, giving us an equal length of day and night today. Woohoo.
Okay. All right. That sounds like hippie medicine stuff, whatever. No, I'm just kidding.
That's what it means.
No,
I know, right?
So we can't.
That's why my spring starts on March 1st. So I've been in spring. Meteorologists, we go by the calendar. So this is hippie stuff, I guess.
Why don't we do that, Brittany? Why don't we all just get on board with the calendar?
I don't know, because we like to think the way the earth is tilting, that matters a little bit more, and the light and stuff like that. So,
well, in all this talk about spring, it doesn't feel very springy because when I woke up this morning, when I got out of the house this morning, my car was not only covered with snow, but with ice. And I live in Kenosha, goodness. By the way. I live in Kenosha. I don't live in the Northwoods. I don't live in Ashland or Bayfield or the Boundary Waters. I live in Kenosha.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So some wild, wild weather yesterday. There were severe storms, tornadoes into Illinois. We had showers and storms, you know, in southern Wisconsin. Meanwhile, heavy, wet snow was hitting up north, and we got a layer of ice underneath as well. So it was just a mess. And then as that cold swung around and that system moved over Lake Michigan, yeah, it hit you guys with some snow down there, too. And I called it death by driveway because ice is just everywhere, you know, and it's wherever you step. And it, I hate ice.
Oh, I know. It wasn't accumulating. It was accumulating on the lawn, but not so much on the pavement. But yes, there was the snow, but the ice definitely was like, you take that first step, you're like, oh, I'm going to walk very slow, very short steps because I don't want to fall on my tuchus. So
seriously.
Well, then, all right. So today is the first day of spring. You all get a pass then. All right. It happens. It's Wisconsin. What is the forecast for the rest of the day and going into the weekend? It's going to be nothing but 80 degrees and sunny and like, it'd be like living in San Diego. Am I right? Am I correct, Brittany? Please tell me I'm right.
Is it April 1st on April Fool's Day? No. I know. Okay, well, the sun will be out for a good chunk of the weekend. I mean, we are looking at staying sunny and dry on Saturday, tomorrow, too. I mean, we could have a little front move through that wants to spark up a few sprinkles in the afternoon, but that's the worst of it.
Yeah.
So overall, pretty good stretch up until Sunday. Sunday is not looking too good either.
What's going to happen on Sunday?
Another one of these storms. It's the second punch. It's the 1-2 punch. So Northwoods, you are looking at another big, significant accumulating snow. It's going to kind of behave like this one just did, where a wintry mix is expected in central parts into the Fox Valley. And then, of course, rain south. And as it kicks out, flips everything to snow again. So pretty much a repeat on Sunday into our Monday morning.
You know, I feel like you said 1-2 punch. I feel like the way this winter into spring has been going, it's been 1-2-3-4-5-6-7 punch. So
it's going to keep doing that. I'll give you guys a heads up. Yes, March is going to keep punching us. And then I think April, it's going to start to shift and we'll just get rain.
There you go. Now, before we get going, we don't tend to get like very political with you. We talk about the weather. We want to talk about what's going on right in front of us. But you actually brought this up. You wanted to talk about the cuts that are happening in NOAA. And as people know, the National Weather Service, the National Oceanic Administration, these are very important, vital departments for America as far as weather prediction. Talk more about that, Brittany, could you?
Yeah. So actually, Tammy Baldwin, she and other senators from other states like Michigan, Minnesota, I mean, New York, anything bordering the Great Lakes, they are trying to reach out and wonder how many people got cut, where are they getting cut from, and how are they going to preserve these programs for the Great Lakes? Because the Great Lakes are so important.
Yeah.
It's just not pretty beautiful water. There's so many things happening. I mean, shipping, navigation, people are forecasting those waves, that data, that research, all of these things are going into that. And I worry about the captains out on those ships. I wonder what's going to happen with the cargo on those ships if these forecasts are dropped. And then also our coasts. I mean, we don't have lifeguards on beaches on our Great Lakes. So those are the people forecasting. Those are the people who know where those rip currents are, when it's going to hit, what wind specifically, how tall that builds these waves and what it does to us. And that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that.
Yeah.
And I'm a meteorologist. I don't study that hard into it. And what they're cutting is the Great Lakes research. Those people are necessary for a lot of our life here in Wisconsin.
And that's something we were talking about earlier. It's like, if you want to try to find the excess, the bulk, you want to try to trim the fat, you do it with a scalpel. You don't do it with a chainsaw. And these types of processes have consequences. And that could mean a lot of bad things happening. And I don't think anyone wants to see that, but I wanted you to talk about it, Brittany, because you are a meteorologist. You are in the thick of it, and we always appreciate you being here to bring your expertise, even if that means more snow. But Brittany, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We really appreciate you. All right. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Coming up next, we, of course, have sports with sports guru Paul Noonan. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump invoked an 18th century wartime act to deport hundreds of migrants, mostly from Venezuela to El Salvador, alleging they were gang members. Now a federal judge wants answers and is not getting them.
Judge James Boasberg calling on the Trump administration to provide specifics about the deportation flights after the White House ignored his directive to turn the planes around and return the migrants to the United States. Judge Boasberg says the Trump administration has evaded its obligations to prove they did not defy his order by sending two planes of Venezuelan migrants to El Salvador, adding the administration provided woefully insufficient information.
ABC's Melissa Adon. President Trump taking aim at the Department of Education. He signed an executive order to dramatically scale down the agency. A federal judge blocking Elon Musk and his team from accessing Social Security records containing the sensitive and private information of millions of Americans. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A Badgers win in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a victory today over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell, leading scoring with 19 points. Stephen Krall, 18. John Tanjay had 15 in all five Badgers players with double-digit points. Up next, they face Brigham Young on Saturday. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. It still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's looking more and more like we should all avoid heading to the theaters to see The Alto Nights, where Robert De Niro plays gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. That's right, he plays both roles. Despite what producers thought was a solid script and Barry Levinson directing, the crime thriller is drawing only 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure if De Niro playing two roles has anything to do with it, but how hard could it have been to find another actor and not rely on a gimmick? Actress Jenny Slate initially supported her co-star Blake Lively in her sexual harassment complaints against Justin Baldoni. The three actors were all in the film It Ends With Us, where the controversy started. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, the star of Bob's Burgers and FX's new series Dying for Sex, says she only wanted to talk about her new show and will no longer discuss anything involving Baldoni, Lively, or It Ends With Us. All this drama will no doubt be a miniseries one day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds and a gusty south wind developing in the overnight. Temperatures dropping to the mid-20s. For Friday, clouds around, highs in the lower 50s. There will be a chance of rain developing in the afternoon as the winds stay breezy. It's 24 at our studios.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Barry Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like, I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
True. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue on location from Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll have the general manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee, and host of Those Were the Days. And look at our brackets. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who will be returning on Tuesday. But for today, you've got me in the big chair, as well as Calvin Butenhoff at the boards. And because it's Thursday, it's 11:30, we've got Acme Packing Company writer and our sports guru, Paul Noonan, here with all the sports loveliness and a very inspirational bumper music, too.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, I felt like I could do anything with that music. My goodness. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. I'm happy that it is like one of the best days of the sports year with the start of the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And while I am, as I often say on the show, typically not a basketball guy, yeah. I am the numbers guy for Acme Packing Company. And so I am into all things sort of sabermetrics related. And this is a good time of year for us as well, because if you are making a bracket out there, you're too late. So this is for next year. The tournament is underway, I think, and it's already started. But if you're making a bracket and you don't know what you're doing, the one thing you need to know, the only one thing, is kenpom.com, the website started by Ken Pomeroy, the sort of Bill James / Billy Dean of college basketball. And KenPom is great because it gives you the best, like, sort of advanced metric, sabermetric look at every college basketball team. And once the selection show happens, it also lists what their seed is right next to their name on KenPom's ranking. So you can see who's overseeded, who's underseeded, who's a likely upset victim, who's not. And if you just go by KenPom, you will probably do halfway decent in the bracket. That is the thing everybody should know when they fill out their brackets every year.
All right. So that, the one thing I gleaned from, see, I got your one reference to get to another reference, Bill James. I know who Bill James is, and I didn't realize. So today your brackets are closed. Is there a big wall in your office that just has, it's dry erase, has red yarn and just tons of players, and that's you going, don't touch this. This is important.
I have that for the NFL draft, but not for college basketball.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a few weeks here.
All right. Well, tell me your immediate takeaways of the NC of day one of what's going on. What's happening?
So just keeping it local focused, Wisconsin, I know when the show is announced, Wisconsin is a 3 seed. They had to travel out to Denver and they had to do it on short notice, which is really the fault of the Big Ten, which runs their tournament right up until the selection show on Sunday. But Wisconsin honestly got a pretty good draw. First of all, Wisconsin historically is a little overrated in KenPom because Bo Ryan and Greg Gard actually run a very efficient program. It tends to play above its head a little bit. Mm. But this year, Wisconsin, I think, is they're up to it. They have, I think, at least 2 and possibly 3 NBA level players on their team, maybe more, honestly. They are 13th overall in KenPom. Their efficiency is off the charts good. And they got Montana, who doesn't have to travel as far, but yeah. Montana is 161st. That is, they are basically even Stevens on offensive and defensive ranking. They don't have the chops, I think, to stop Wisconsin's offense, which is really the key for Wisconsin. This is such a weird Wisconsin team. Usually Wisconsin is a defensively great team with an offense that can kind of get it done, that does enough to get it done. This is not that. They can light up the scoreboard. Their defense has steadily improved over the course of the year. As long as they're not exhausted and the elevation doesn't get to them, mm-hmm. they should be okay in the first round. You know, there are no sure things in college basketball, but they have one of the better matchups that a team could have gotten, to be honest. So they're in good shape. Marquette got it a lot harder, which, you know, makes sense. They're, I don't think, weren't quite as good as Wisconsin, at least in terms of resume this year. Let's see. Marquette. They're in the 20s. They're 28th in KenPom, so not bad still. They're okay. Their opponent is New Mexico, right? And they're 42nd, so they're a lot closer. And what's really concerning is New Mexico is one of the best defensive teams in the country. And specifically at guard, teams like that have given Marquette a lot of trouble over the course of the year. And so that is one where if they dropped out early, I wouldn't be that surprised. They can win. Marquette's good, but mm-hmm. their matchup is much more of a 50-50 shot than I think Wisconsin's is.
And for anyone not familiar, because I actually had to ask the question, I believe last week, this is single elimination. If you beat today, you go home. Yep. Okay.
That is right.
Yeah. And if Wisconsin wins today, which the game is actually happening right now. It's happening right now. And which
it just kicked off a few minutes ago.
Which you can actually listen to on Civic Media radio stations across the state. So check it out. You can also, if they win, they're going to be taking on BYU.
Well,
or VCU. So
the winner of BYU-VCU.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
BYU is like a hot pick to go far. I think because their offense is really highly ranked. They had one of the more efficient offenses. They were 11th in offensive efficiency this year. But they were awful on defense. Good teams, a good team that could upset anybody, but they can run it out of the gym too. But Wisconsin is really well equipped to get into shootouts with people. And if you have no defensive chops to stop Wisconsin, there's a good chance you get run out of the gym. VCU is only a few spots behind them in terms of efficiency, but a very different team, one of the best defensive teams in the entire tournament. I think that game could go either way. And I frankly would rather have BYU, even though they are kind of a hot upset pick. Well, not upset, they're the favorites, but a hot pick to go far.
Okay.
I think Wisconsin matches up with them a lot better than VCU. I would much rather have them.
Is it too early to ask you the highlights of your bracket?
I'm a very boring bracket picker. You can totally ask me this, but so again, numbers guy. And the smart thing to do in almost every NCAA tournament bracket, if you want to win, like if you want to be the cool guy with lots of upsets, that's fine. Go for it.
Yeah.
You'll probably lose to me, but the smartest thing to do on any given bracket is to pick Duke to win it all. And I thought that might end after Mike Krzyzewski left. But Duke, assuming Cooper Flagg comes back, who's been injured the last few games, they can get through the first round without him. So it doesn't matter. As long as he comes back, they were first in KenPom. They are the best team. They're kind of the best team by a lot. Florida is close-ish in a lot of metrics. But it's boring. But it's really economically smart to pick Duke because so many people hate Duke and hate picking Duke in their bracket that it actually pays off more than it should in a lot of ways. So I hate to be boring, but they're a good one to go after.
Okay.
Texas Tech is a 3 seed. They're a little underseeded. They're a good one if you want to pick. But if memory serves, have a pretty good Missouri team in their way, who's also a little underseeded. So those are both good underdog picks, but I think they're going to cancel out at some point. Kansas is overrated. Don't pick them. You've already done all this, so I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I'm He's telling
you, if
now,
you pick Kansas, you're a fool.
This is kind of a fun one just because Wisconsin is, I think, a pretty good pick.
Yeah.
One thing that can also burn some highly ranked teams is if they're just if you are really, really good on offense, but fatally flawed on defense or vice versa, you can be upset. Virginia, Tony Bennett's Virginia team that's won the tournament pretty recently, but also is one of the 16 teams to get upset, was just not a good enough offensive team when that happened. So sometimes you'll look at it, you'll kind of look for that on teams to see who is a possible upset pick. And Wisconsin's not that. They're very balanced. Mm-hmm. So this is a good tournament for them. I think they have a halfway decent shot to do some damage. And I like riding the team that I root for. So they're one I barely ever take them to win because I'm biased for them. They're not a bad upset pick to actually go really far this year. They're well positioned.
All right. So we now have a lowdown on Paul Noonan's bracket for the NCAA tournament. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Mr. Paul Noonan, who is a writer for the Acme Packing Company and our sports guru here at Matt and Air on Air. Let's turn the subject to the Packers. What's going on with the Packers before draft's coming up? What have they been doing?
So they haven't been super active in free agency. They made a couple of signings earlier but they did do one interesting thing this week, which was to sign receiver Mecole Hardman. And it's not a big flashy signing, to be sure, but he is a slot receiver that has played primarily for Kansas City. He'll be Jaden Reed's backup on offense, but he's also a punt returner. And the Packers were awful returning punts last year. They actually had a decent improvement on special teams, generally speaking, but they were something awful on punt returns. Mm-hmm. And so this is I think, special teams pick as much as it is anything. But I think it's worth noting that Hardman actually still has, I think, a little projectability in him. As a rookie, this will be his age 27 season. He's not an old guy. He's not a young guy, but he's in his prime.
Yeah.
As a rookie for Kansas City, he was one of the most efficient receivers in all of football. He didn't catch a ton of passes, but he had something like 50-something targets, and he caught like 27 bombs. And the one thing the Packers really like to do out of the slot specifically, the slot's where the little guys play. They line up next to the tight ends. They're little guys who run in space like Jaden Reed does. But the Packers like to run that guy deep more often than almost any other team. It's why Reed has been so good for them. He has good straight line speed. His backup right now is Bo Melton, who is fast but not good at catching deep passes. Hardman's good at that. And he does give you, I think, a little more depth than you've had before. If Reed does suffer any injuries, you can just plug him in and not lose really a step. So it's a clever signing. It doesn't cost them too much. It is a very Brewers signing, honestly, in that it is a bargain signing where it really shores you up in terms of your depth should you suffer any injuries. And I like it. It's a smart one. It's not a huge signing, but it's a smart signing.
Calvin, what are your thoughts?
Well, I was going to kind of move on, stay in the receiver position, but kind of go to the draft a little bit.
Ooh, all right. See if I can pull up a spreadsheet real quick here.
spreadsheet time, all right.
Like many Packer fans, I have been crossing my fingers every year to take a receiver in the first round. Is that finally going to happen this year, or is this signing kind of point towards that they're content with what we have?
They should not be content with what they have. So I mentioned last time I was on, I was hoping they would trade for DK Metcalf. They did not do that. Someone else did that. They need to draft an outside receiver. Christian Watson's going to miss like the whole season. And so they do need at least one other guy to play outside and to block. And there aren't that many guys in the draft that are going to fill that gap for them. And I'm trying to pull up names right now because one of them has a long, hard to pronounce name. Here's the thing. I was not prepared for draft talk. one is Higgins, who is 6'4", and I think Iowa State off the top of my head. Got to pull up metrics here. I got to pull up Tet here. There's only two guys who are 6'4". Yeah. The guys you want to keep an eye on are the athletic guys who are 6'4". There's only two of them in the draft, and I am trying frantically. You know what? Spreadsheets are too hard to pull up on there. You know,
yeah.
I do a podcast every week where I set up my tabs so that I have all these open, all my spreadsheets ready.
Well, we sprung, nice and organized. That's
what you got to do it spontaneously. Yeah,
we sprung the draft on you. So we can shift gears in the last 2 minutes we have. Real quick, Brewers spring training. How are they looking? Getting ready for their opener next week.
The Brewers are looking okay. So it could be better, could be worse. On the worse side, they did lose Tobias Myers to an oblique injury. It's now looking very nice that they signed Jose Quintana last week, because that depth is already paying off. And they have a pretty tough schedule to start the season in terms of off days. They do not have a ton of them. Usually the league gives you a huge like run up of off days to start the season for things like rainouts, because people are sort of still ramping up to give a little more leeway to your bullpen to not get overworked. They didn't really do that this year with the Brewers. They should still be okay, but Myers, his MRIs were okay. Obliques are tricky though. You really do have to be 100% when you're back from them. If you don't want to re-injure, that's not great there. They did suffer a minor injury to Bryce Turang's throwing shoulder, but he looks like he's going to be okay. And they're a game up on the Cubs already, who started the season already in Japan against the Dodgers. And so we got a game lead going in. Can't ask for more than that.
Love that. You can catch his work at the Acme Packing Company. The links will be in the show notes. He is our sports guru every other Thursday. Paul Noonan, thank you for being here. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Take care. Enjoy the basketball. I hope your bracket works out for you. Stay close. When we come back, it's This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
Do you live your life in fear, man? Republicans continue to lead people to believe the boogeyman's coming to get you. It's those immigrants. It's people of color. They're coming to get your babies. Never mind. You live in River Hills, where there's very little crime, if any. What are you afraid of, man? Nobody's coming to get you. And yet, people buy into that foolishness.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane, who is out in the world being amazing. She will return on Tuesday, but I am in the big chair for the next few days. And of course, I've always got the wonderful, the talent, the amazingly well-spoken Calvin Butenhoff, who everyone is just loving your commentary from earlier in the show. And I'm gonna make sure we capture that on some audio, because Calvin, that was very well said. Say it one more time for the people. Say it one more time.
Well, now I feel like we're dragging it a little bit. Mm-mm. But thank you for all the kind words, everyone. I just simply said, we were accused of being jealous of Elon Musk and people with more than us. And I said, I'm not jealous of people with more than me. I have compassion and empathy for those with less than me.
There you go. And that's what we strive for in the world. That's compassion and empathy are not bad things. Anyone who tells you otherwise, no, thank you. So thank you so much for being here today with us, folks. We really appreciate you always tuning in. We're going to be here tomorrow, 10 to noon. After this show, we'll be followed by some news. And then, of course, Todd Alba from noon to 2. We got Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. We got Dom Selby from 4 to 6. Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8. And then a whole host of shows after that throughout the evening. And then we do it right back here, starting with Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, 6 to 8 a.m. every morning, Monday through Friday. Calvin, it's 11:53. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
This shouldn't be a thing, folks. If you ever have a thing that shouldn't be, send it to Jane and me, as Jane says, at civicmedia.us. Jane says at civicmedia.us. I'd tell you the headline, but it kind of gives away the fun of it. So I'll read you the first paragraph. Audra, this is, oh, by the way, this is the Awkward Moment of Silence edition. That is the name of this one for today. Arda Karzali, which is located in the southern Bulgarian town of Karzali, and play in the country's top division, held a minute of silence in honor of Petko Ganchev before Sunday's game against Levski Sofia. Both teams lined up near the center of the circle to kick off in the one-on-one draw, bowing their heads to mourn Ganchev. Well, today the Bulgarian Football Club is apologizing because they held a minute of silence for a person who is actually still alive. Before the match was over, Arda posted on their Facebook page saying that they received wrong information about Ganchev's death. The club said the management of PFC Arda would like to express a huge apology to the former Arda player Petko Ganchev and his relatives after the club received wrong information about his death. He is not dead. He is still alive. Quote, "We wish Petko Ganchev many more years of good health and to enjoy success of Arda." Who's getting fired, Calvin?
Yeah, well, I mean, every year or two, there's always like the celebrity death report that's not actually real. So I don't know. It seems like the soccer club less research than a tabloid on one of their retired players passing away.
They did less research than the Trump administration. Am I right? Oh, waka waka. I mean, the thing is like, if he's such a legendary player, there would be some person in the club, Arda Kardzali, I want to say it again, who would just maybe call someone from the family and be like, "Hey, we heard about this. Is this true? If so, we'd like to honor Petra and give them their flowers and do the thing." Instead, they looked at Instagram or Twitter, and they were like, "Well, I guess they're." And then I think what's funny to me, Calvin, is that they said, "We hope that he lives many more years after that." I'm like, "Really? Okay. All right. Well, I guess."
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about Bulgarian football. But you would think
that club is large, Calvin. That club is very large.
Well, I mean, I know soccer is huge globally, and I can imagine that. I think Bulgaria makes it to the World Cup, so they must be somewhat relevant in soccer. Yeah. And it's just mind blowing to me that I don't even know how this happens.
Yeah, I just imagine that all the he's not dead. Just like all throughout the stadium being played. And by the way, the guy's name is Petko, not Petra. That's Petko Ganchev is the name of the player. Played for, I just like saying the name, Arda Kardzali. Arda Kardzali is the name of that team. So, yeah, it's just a piece of advice from us here at Matt and Air on Air to you out there in Bulgaria. If you're going to do a minute of silence for a fallen football hero, just make sure you call someone who maybe knows the person, you know, just the slightest bit of research, and you'll be doing just fine. And with that, that wraps up another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you to all who left a comment, who called, left a text message. We always appreciate it. Without you, we can't do what we do. Thank you to Calvin and our engineers. As Jane says, without them, none of this works. None of this operates. And we're going to be here tomorrow. We got a great show lined up for you. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be our guest co-host in the first hour from 10 a.m. to 11. And then my friend, frequent guest on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR, Hari Kundabolu, will be stopping by the show to talk about his shows at the Laughing Tap this weekend, which I am going to be performing. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. He'll be here at 11 o'clock for that. And of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. But for now, we bid you a good day. Stay close. News is up next, followed by Todd Alba. As Jane always says, I hope you find a little piece of joy today and you have a chance to share it. I hope you realize that you are awesome and let no one tell you differently. Stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Stay warm. Happy spring.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will discuss if the Trump administration is defying court orders or just being cute. Plus, did the administration commit fraud and mass firings at the IRS? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Matt Nair on Air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump signing an executive order Thursday to start dismantling the Department of Education. Elon Musk is reportedly set to receive a top-secret Pentagon briefing Friday on U.S. military plans in the event of a war with China. Sources tell the New York Times that the extraordinary access will include details on U.S. strategy and potential Chinese targets. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth denying the report, saying the meeting with Musk will be about innovation, efficiencies, and smarter production. Meanwhile, a federal judge has blocked Musk and his team from accessing Social Security records containing the sensitive and private information of millions of Americans. And a travel warning if you're going overseas. According to its website, London Heathrow Airport is closed until 11:59 p.m. on March 21st due to a fire at an electrical substation supplying the airport that's caused a significant power outage. This is ABC News. A new recall for nearly all of Tesla's Cybertrucks. ABC's Mike DePoe.